How's everyone doing? You doing good? Awesome. God is good. Yes, He is. Bill Johnson says God is just as good as He is holy, and He's just as holy as He is good. That's a good report. If you got your Bibles, turn with me, going to Jeremiah this morning, Jeremiah chapter 1, and we're going to be talking about calling. Everyone say, I am called. Do you believe that this morning? Oftentimes, even non-Christians or people that are unchurched, they'll understand the term called. They understand what it means to be called, but they tend to think of it in terms of ministry calling. So if I'm sharing my testimony and talking about how the Lord called me into ministry, they will say, well, that's because you are called. But they'll separate themselves from that equation because they tend to think in terms of that the Lord only shows up through burning bushes when He's going to call somebody specifically into full-time ministry, that is working within a church for a living. How many of you know this morning that full-time ministry has nothing to do with whether you are in a church building 40 hours a week? How many of you know that? You are a minister if you are a Christian. And if you are a Christian, you are a minister, and you can't separate the two. Because to be a Christian means that you are a little Christ. It means that you are a Christ one, that you are representing Jesus the Christ, the anointed one, that you are the body, the representation of Christ Jesus on the face of the earth. Yeah, amen. All right. So everyone say, I am called. I have a calling. I have been called into ministry. And there's, and I feel a tremendous amount of weight right now on this topic of calling, because it's something that hasn't been talked about a whole lot within the church, and I wonder if it's because the vision of the local church in many contexts of ministry has replaced or diminished the calling of the individual believer within the church. So I wonder if within church context, if there's been such an emphasis on supporting the vision of your local church that we have somehow allowed for our own personal calling and identity to be diminished or to even disappear, so that we believe that we exist to support the vision of the local church. I mean, well, all right, that works. Okay, whatever. But you support the vision of the local church by fulfilling your call. That you bring the Lord the most glory when you are the most alive in Him, when you're the most lit up in Him. So you, this morning, you're a light bulb. You're a light bulb, okay? And when you're not screwed into the socket, you're not alive. You're not lit up. So this morning, we're going to get lit this morning. Are you down? Awesome. If you are not personally lit up, if you're not glowing, you can't just come into a church vision, get screwed in, and come alive. You need to know what your call is. You need to know why God has created you. First of all, does everyone here believe that God created you? Okay? And so this is where we're going this morning. If we're going to live like we're part of the kingdom of God, if we're going to live like we're actually under His kingly authority, then we need to understand that we were created to be part of His kingdom and to operate in a kingly purpose and with kingly identity. If you are going to be a part of the kingdom of God, you need to know your kingly role and function. If you don't understand that you are called to be a king and a priest, then you may be fooled into thinking that you're just a human being trying to live up to some sort of biblical code. And if you can meet up to the code, then God will love you and the church will accept you. But if you can understand that God has created you to rule and to reign and to represent His kingship on the face of the earth, then it's no longer about performing. Now it's all about one thing. And Christianity should all be all about one thing, and that should be intimacy. This whole thing is about intimacy. So if we're going to talk about calling, if we're going to talk about purpose, we must say that it's all about one thing, intimacy. Because if you leave here today saying, I was called to be a rapper. I was called to be a Christian gangster rapper. Thank you, Darren, because now that you preach this awesome sermon, I'm going to go out and I'm going to be a gangster rapper. And then who knows, you might actually go out and actually apply yourself to the 10,000 hour principle and actually pop the whole industry and show up in Rolling Stone. And you can say, thank you, Pastor Darren, because of that incredible message, now I'm a gangster rapper, gangster rapping about Jesus, and people are getting saved, and all that is great. But if you miss intimacy, it's all for nothing. Because what you did is you took some principles, some godly principles, some biblical principles, and you installed them, and it popped something in your life, and you got that will, you got that self-esteem that you needed, and you went out and you did something awesome, but you forgot that it was all about falling in love with him and his heart transforming you and giving you a heart for people, and then everything else is just the fun stuff. Yeah? Yeah, so you can take principles, you can apply principles, you can see the fruit of principles. You can see signs, wonders, miracles, dreams, and visions. We can have worship where everyone's levitating off the ground and we're all anchored to chairs and this whole place is like, we're getting written about and all these awesome publications. But if we have not love, it's a bunch of hogwash. If we have not love, it's annoying. It might be legitimately powerful, but if there's not a true heart that says, God, I love you. I love you, I love you, I love you, I honor you, I honor you as the king, okay, and I honor your principles and your precepts and your ways, and then from that place of connection, the Lord has given you his heart for the nations, then everything else is just a bunch of noise. So that's my introduction, because we have to keep the lenses of intimacy in front of all of this, otherwise it's going to be radically unbalanced. Is that good? Does everyone feel balanced now? All right, praise the Lord. All right, you there? Jeremiah 1:5, good, here we go. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. So this is God coming to Jeremiah, and this is what he said. How many of you have the relative or the friend that's like way older than you? Or and maybe you remember something like this, but you go to a family reunion, go to an old church, and there's that person, they grab you by your cheek, and they say, I remember you way back. I remember you when you were just in your mama's tummy. I remember you when you had a big melon head on your skinny little toothpick body, and you're running around this church. That's my story, right? You look like a watermelon on toothpick. You look like a Q-tip running around here. I remember. This is kind of like what God is saying to Jeremiah. Jeremiah, man, I remember you, man. I remember you way back when you didn't even have an earth suit yet. Now, wouldn't that trip you out? Like, how would you like it if the old lady walked up to you at church and said, I remember you way back before you were even a human being. You'd be like, whoa, weirdo, I'm out of here, right? But this is what God says to Jeremiah. Hey, before you were in the womb, I knew you. Everyone say knew. Okay, now that word knew or to know is the same word that's used between a husband and wife on their wedding night to know each other intimately, okay, in a place of union. So God says this, before you were formed in the womb, I had a relationship with you. How many of you would rather just read a scripture verse like this and not spend any time in it and just pretend like you know it? We've read it 1,000 times, and just keep moving on. Because to think about this kind of trips me out a little. I took some time this last week and I just came before the Lord and I just said, God, before I was this, you knew me. And he knows me when I'm going to be that. We are going where we came from. where we're going, we've been there before. And God says to Jeremiah, before you were this, you were that, and I knew you then. Doesn't it just make you feel like incredible? Kind of? All right, some of you are getting triggered and weirded out, but that's cool. So, and then it says this, and before you were born, so it's like God doesn't, it's like Jeremiah didn't get it. So, okay, so he goes, before you were in the womb, but it's like God's like, Jeremiah, you're not getting it. Before you were born, I consecrated you. I set you up for this moment. And he says, and I appointed you then a prophet, but you're just discovering right now what I ordained for you way back then. Let me say, some of us are coming into a season this fall where the Lord's going to start revealing to you things that he declared and prophesied into your being way back when. And just because it's new to you today doesn't mean it's new. It's actually very, very old, and the Father's been waiting for this moment to reveal these things to you so that you can get lit up, so that you can get screwed in, so that you can come alive. That before you were this, I knew you way back then, and I'm preparing you for the you that I know, the future you that's going to be actually literally glowing, a burning one, a heavenly one, that we get so preoccupied with our earth state and our earthness and our earth troubles and our earth bills and our earth drama. She said, "What? Oh, no, she didn't. Earth stuff," that we forget there's a very real heavenly world with an agenda. That heaven has an agenda. Heaven has a plan. And no matter how chaotic your earthness, your earth suit, no matter how much pain you're in today, no matter how much chaos you're walking in, I got good news. It came to pass. It is temporary. And this little earth suit that we have, it's a borrowed deal, man. But this thing, we got to start thinking long term. Like we tend to only think in terms of 5 to 10 years. What's your 5-year plan? But here's the question that the Lord has for you this morning. What's your 10,000 year plan? What's your 20,000 year plan? I heard an interview this last week with, I think it was Elon Musk, and he was talking about that a generation needs to start thinking in terms of 10,000 year increments. This dude isn't even a believer. This dude is like practicing Buddhism, right? And why is it that non-believers are trying to attempt to start thinking long-term in terms of 10,000 years and us eternal, like believers, like we talk about eternity, we sing about eternity, and yet we don't think in terms of eternity, that when we grieve just like those who are without hope. And let me tell you something, all the pain, all the drama, all the betrayal, all the stuff that you've been walking through all throughout your life, it has not been in vain. When you take off your shirt and you see the bullet scars, when you take off your shirt and you see those wounds that your husband gave to you, you see those, when you look at yourself and all you can see is years and years and years of pain and betrayal, that was not in vain. The Lord is going to take those ashes and he's going to bring beauty out of it. The Lord extracts beauty out of ashes. And though in your temporary status and state, you might be in a lot of pain and chaos this morning, but I want to tell you, it's time to start thinking long term. You're going to be around a while. You didn't come from no monkey, and when you die, you're not going to turn into dust. This thing is big, and it's time to start taking life more seriously. It's time to start taking today more seriously. A lot of you, you're living today like you got tomorrow. But I don't know that. Just spent the day in the hospital with Aaron's daughter yesterday. Man, 28 years old and she has a heart attack. Man, she didn't know that was going to happen that day. She just got married the weekend before. 28 years old. I just did a funeral last weekend for another 28-year-old girl, right? OD'd. Now, you got today. Today is a gift from the Lord, and it's time for us to start honoring the work and plan of God and what he has in store for us today. You're not an accident. You're part of a real, 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 real big deal. And it's time for us to shake ourselves and to start taking the kingdom of God more seriously, start taking the king a little bit more seriously, and for us to start taking ourselves a little bit more seriously. God did not create you just to be an employee at Comcast. God did not create you just so you could run your own business. All that stuff is great. All that stuff is awesome. It's great that you're paying your bills this morning. Come on, amen? But there's more. Oh, there's more. There's a whole lot more. And the battle is for the more. Because the enemy would love to just keep us so preoccupied in our duties and in our stuff that we forget all about the stuff that really matters. So God says to Jeremiah, I knew you. I knew you way back when, buddy. And then God says, and Jeremiah, I've been waiting for this time. Because this is the moment that I'm going to reveal to you that which I sung into your DNA way before you were formed into your mother's womb. Like Jeremiah, God would say to you this morning, I love you, I have a plan for your life, and this is not a new plan. I didn't just realize that I have some needs. Some of us, we think that our call is like that when you get called, that's something that God just came up with, right? Like God's up there in heaven, he's like, the earth kind of sucks in this kind of way. And this is a new kind of horrible. And so I'm gonna call Matt Young to come and meet the needs of this horrible, and we're gonna deal with, but that's not how God works. God says to Jeremiah that before you were framed, before you were formed in your mother's womb, you came out of eternity, which is in me. You were born a spirit being out of eternity, which is in the Father. And then the Lord sent with you a scroll. The Lord sent with you a call. That you weren't called at summer camp in 1997. No, you were called the day that you were framed out of eternity and then sent and formed through your mother's womb, that you were born with a purpose resonating in you. And oftentimes, everybody else, they see it before you see it. How many of you, that's your story? Like, everybody around you is telling you, man, you got a call. Man, you are special. There's something different about you. And for a lot of people that are not even believers, they get a realization of this before Christians even get a realization of this. Because the anointing is not contingent on your sanctification or your repentance. That's not fair. Like, don't you wish that only the righteous got to operate in a higher level anointings and callings, right? Like, wouldn't it have been awesome if the Beatles actually would have been a Christian band? Wouldn't it have been awesome if Katy Perry would have stuck it out and went through her issues instead of rebelling and turning away from God? Katy Perry, no? Yeah. Super Bowl, big crazy lion thing. All right, this is going really well. So, so here's how it works. The Lord loves to do things in public. The Lord's a very public God. How many of you have heard of the term justification? The word justification is a very public act. What it means is that there is a public declaration of forgiveness. That justification is a very public act. That the Father declares your innocence in front of all the heavens. Okay? It's a very public act. When you go to court, that's a very public act, okay? There's a jury. There are people that are participating in the court. There are people that are scribing what's happening in that court. That judge will say, jury, have you come to a verdict yet? And that jury will say, we have weighed out the evidence and we find the defendant guilty or not guilty. And everyone goes, ah! And everybody knows, and then the press has it, and then it goes out, and it's in the press, and it's in the news, and everybody knows, he is guilty, or he is innocent, And here's what happens. When you give your life to Jesus, the judge comes out before the scores of angels, before the nations, before the heavens are filled, and the Father comes out and he says, I find the defendant. I find Darren Stott in light of all the evidence. And here's the accuser. Here's Satan saying, and Darren did this, and Darren did that. And all the demons are like, yeah, we saw it. And yeah, we were a part of it. And yeah, Darren partnered with us. And they're like, and the demons and hell, how many of you have ever been on the side of the accuser? Come on, anyone? How many of you have ever partnered with the enemy to point out another believer's flaws? How many of you have ever partnered with the enemy to go before the Lord and to point out somebody else's areas of unrighteousness? Don't partner with Satan. You are not the accuser of the brethren. You are part of the kingdom of God, the righteous king. So here's the enemy, and yeah, Darren's all this stuff. And what does God do? God comes out and says, in light of the evidence. And they're like, the evidence? Yeah, the evidence is all this stuff. And he says, in light of the evidence of the blood of my son that has covered Darren, I declare in front of everyone, this is my son, and I find him innocent. I find no record of his past. He's clean. He's my son. He's forgiven. Justification, the doctrine, the awesome doctrine of justification. Isn't it beautiful? It's amazing. It's very public. So now all the angels, all the publicists, all the journalists, because everyone knows there's got to be journalists in heaven. They're called heralds. And they begin journaling, and all of a sudden the newspapers are going out. The blogs are going out. St. Paul, huge blogger. He's up there, you know, he's got his blog, and he puts it out to all of his followers, right? It's going out on St. Paul's tweets, and it's going out, the Father has found Darren Stott innocent. Forgiven. Okay, take that. Now apply that to your call. Your call is your testimony. Your call is your scroll. Your call are the things in this life that you're going to either accomplish or not accomplish based off of your willingness to trust the Lord and obey him, based off of your intimacy and whether or not you're willing to form a heart-to-heart relationship with the Father. Okay? So before you were born, Jeremiah, I assigned to you your scroll, and your scroll, that scroll, those were my God-spoken, God-decreed desires that went public. So I believe that before there was Darren in flesh and blood, there was Darren that was born out of eternity, which is in the Father, and that with me came my scroll, my God-decreed purpose and assignment for my life. Read Psalm 139 this next week. Read the psalm, and God comes to David and says, everything that you've done up to this point, I wrote it all out, a public document. And everything you're ever going to do for me has been written out, a public document. The Lord even knows how many hairs are on my head, okay? And that number's changing daily. All right. Okay. Intercessor is just the way to be praying, so. There was a night that we had a night of worship here. I was on the front row. The presence of God was really heavy. There was just like this awesome prophetic anointing that came. And I found myself on the floor, and somehow I got a hold of a microphone, which is awesome. So I'm on the floor with a microphone. I begin prophesying about the call of God and how it's actually in your DNA. And it was just like, it's just something that the Lord was speaking at night. It's not anything that I'd ever spent any time on studying or listening. This goes back probably, I don't know, three or four years ago, I'd say. And when I came out of that experience, I just knew it. I didn't need to go and study it. I didn't need to go and preach it. I didn't want to go and debate it. That wasn't the point. The point was this, that I believed that the call of God was no longer this kind of weird thing out there that one day I got a glimpse of and I began partnering with, but that the call of God was the desire of God that was actually in my blood cells. That God knit me with his decree inside of me. Now, if that's true, don't you want to know what his decree inside of you is? I was writing this last week. I was writing to the Lord, and I heard myself writing to the Lord. And as I was writing to him, I said, "And Lord, you sang into my DNA, my identity and purpose. That in the same way, God, that you sang creation, as the scholars would say, and God said, 'Let there be light,' and it was good. It's written as a poem, and that Paul would say, you are the poetry of God, that you are the poetry, you are the song of God. So I believe that when God creates, he doesn't just say, now, if I take the equation and the molecular structure and I take these cells and I mix in a little bit of love, you know, no, I believe that when God cooks in his kitchen, he's a singing God. That when God creates, there's a smile on his face, and that regardless of what your parents told you, you came out of eternity, which is in him. You were formed, you were framed, and God began writing your song. He sang you into existence, and there was your mother and your father. And in the act of union, it takes union for there to be life. And in the act of union, the two coming together, creating an ark, scientists actually say that there's an explosion that takes place in the womb, a literal explosion of light. And here's what takes place. And Bill Zoeller can give you more in-depth biological teaching on creation. But essentially, the way I would break it down is this, that the cells of your mother and your father begin duplicating and duplicating. In that moment of explosion, your daddy and mommy cells begin duplicating and multiplying, multiplying, multiplying. They go in, and all of a sudden, there's another sound that's heard. You know what that sound is? It's the sound of a mighty drum. And a moment, a lightning, a collision, an explosion, a multiplication of cells, and now there's a drum. It's a sound of thunder. You know what it is? It's that little baby's heart. That little baby, that little, there's not even eyes or ears, but what is there? It's a sound. It's worship, a little infant. It's not just plasm, okay? This isn't just a fetus, okay? This isn't just something you get to flush away, okay? And if you've been through an abortion, God loves you. There's restoration. We have Pastor Greg and Walter and Ida that actually can walk you through. We have had a lot of moms actually meet their children after an abortion and get to find out their children's names, and some of them even get to see their, I don't believe in any, how does that work? Because you're not human. I mean, don't get me wrong, you are, but it's secondary. Because before you were human, before you were this, you were that. And when you're done with this, you'll be that again. Tracking? This is just good old-fashioned Christianity that everyone's talking about. But the Bible talks about it, so let's talk about it. So there's the drum. There's the heart. The heart, and the heart begins beating, and out of that multiplication, and the baby begins to be knit, and all of a sudden, all the cells, the DNA, the generations of decisions begin to wrap that child and begin to frame that child. So that child, you were born out of the father, but as you're formed in your mother's womb, you begin taking on generational chaos, anxiety, sin, and now you are born fractured in need of healing. Paul would say it like this. Why? Paul. Darn it. Some of you are going to relate. Some of you have had this last week. Darn it. Why is it everything that I want to be, I'm not? Why is it everything I don't want to do, I do? Why is it I want to be like you, Jesus, but I keep making the same hellish decisions? Why is it, as far back as I can remember, my life has always been dark, my life has always been chaotic, my life has always been anxious? Why is it? You're born out of him, but you were framed and knit in the DNA and the decisions in the blood of your earthly parents. The blood. The blood. God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten son to come, live, die, and to bleed. That blood would be shed. That whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. Why is it that we live our lives with no gravity when it comes to the kingdom of God? We're just trying to do Christian stuff, use Christianese, be moral, but we're not living our lives as if we are actually a resting place for the King of Glory to come down and to rest on us. He will not rest on your chaos. He will not rest on your anxiety. He will not rest on your generations of depravity. Do you know what we need, church? We need the body of Jesus that was broken for us. We need to partake of his blood that was shed for us, that we would partake in the communion and the union with Christ that Jesus came and accomplished what you and I could never accomplish. The desires of your heart. What are the desires of your heart this morning? Some of us, man, there are some evil, evil desires in our heart. I know we're at church, but imagine if all of our desires were put up on that screen up there for all of us just to examine. Man, some of us here this morning, there are some evil, evil desires. Pay attention to your heart. The heart is the wellspring of life. And some of you, there's some really good, God-framed, God-ordained desires. But here's the thing. Those desires that are in your heart, they will manifest. The good ones and the bad ones. The biggest trouble that you got into in your life, it didn't just happen one day. It wasn't a fluke. It was birthed and manifested out of desire. But the good news is this. God has some desires in his heart. And these desires were formed and framed for you. And that your calling is more than just a weird abstract calling. The call of God for your life is this. The call of God is his fatherly desires that have been formed and framed and knit into your DNA. It impacts your identity. It impacts your purpose. It impacts the decisions that you're making. And the Father wants for you to come into alignment with the blood of Jesus, to come into his desire and to break allegiance with those generational patterns that have framed up your daddy and his daddy and his daddy before them. That it's time for us to honor our father and our mother, but to say, I want to come into alignment with the record and DNA of Christ Jesus, his body that was broken for me, his blood that was shed for me, and I want to know the scroll. I want to see the scroll. I want to see the words that he decreed. So I imagine this. God comes before all the angels and says, look at this huge, beautiful plan. Everyone says, wow. And the Father says, it's a song. And King David says, can I sing it? And God says, sure. What's it called? And God says, it's called Darmstadt. And everyone just begins weeping. What's it called? It's called Richard Pojuarena. And everyone goes, whoa. What's it called? It's called Rick White. You wrote a song called Rick White? Yeah. Wow. And everyone begins singing. And all of a sudden, use your imaginations. I mean, this might offend you, but Disney doesn't offend you, so get over it. All of a sudden, there's this ball of light, and it's beautiful. It's gorgeous. It makes the most gorgeous diamond you've ever seen look cheap. And it appears, and the Father hugs it and says, here we go. And then there's Debbie, and she was told she couldn't have children. She was told she couldn't have any children. That's what the doctor said. That's what her genetics said. There's my mom. And all of a sudden the doctor says, I don't know how this happened, but you're pregnant. There's a song in you. Before you accept the vision of Seattle Revival Center and say, I'm going to give my life to that, discover your Father's vision for your life. Before you occupy yourself with a whole bunch of busyness for the church, for God, for the kingdom, hold your horses, take a step back, and say, Lord, show me what this thing looks like. You've created me to not be a landing place for Satan and demons. You have not created me to be an airport for hell. Here comes a 747 full of demons of lust. I'm going to be the landing place. Welcome, guys. And then they go out and do their stuff. I am going to be a landing place for the kingdom of God. I'm going to be a habitation for the angelic. I'm going to be a place. I'm going to be a sanctuary. I'm going to be a temple so that where I go, the very presence, the very holiness, the stability, the shalom of heaven comes and lands because I'm there, because you're there. I don't know what it looks like, but it's very, very unique. There's not a person on this planet that has your thumbprint. There's not a person on this planet that has your DNA. God does not believe in Xeroxing humans. There is not anyone on this planet that can do what God has called for you to do. And if you are disobedient, regardless of what your beliefs are, if you are disobedient to the Lord, God can't just come and say, well, Matt missed the boat, so Anthony, you come and take on his mantle and his mandate. It does not work that way. That if God could replace you with just the person sitting next to you, why would he have formed you and framed you and created you for this time? People say, well, I can just be just disobedient because God can just use someone else. No, he created you. He built you. He hardwired you. He sang you. Why? You don't just get to sit low in the boat. You don't just get to hide. You don't just get to sit on the back row. No offense, you guys are all legit. But you don't just get to be, I'm a good little Christian, do my good little thing. I'm going to figure out how to make as much money as I possibly can before I die. No, darn it. This thing is awesome. This thing is big. This thing is powerful. It's radically, insanely supernatural. It's freaky. It will freak you right out. And God would say to you, your eyes haven't seen, your ears haven't heard, your wildest, craziest imagination does it have the capability of framing up the things that God has in store for you, but it is his pleasure to reveal these things to those who love him. Do you love him this morning? There's a king in you. There's an oracle in you. There's a legislator in you. There's a priest in you. Your blood is purple, not red. You are royalty. Don't wait till you die to figure this out. Don't wait to die until you figure out how important your earthly life was, but you wasted it on stupid things that earth says are really, really cool when they're just a waste of time. Your call is important. You are called. You are called. You are called of God. You are chosen of God. I chose you. That's what God said. You didn't choose me. Don't flatter yourself. I chose you. Why? Because I knew you, and I didn't just choose you in 1998. I didn't just choose you. I didn't just decide, oh, I need more messengers. I'm just going to go choose some people, right? No, God says, before you were born, before you were knit, before you were sent, I knew you intimately, and I wrote out your deeds, your ways, your scroll. Are you willing to say, I was born for this time, I was born for this day. It doesn't matter what my soccer coach told me. It doesn't matter what my dad told me. It doesn't matter what my PE teacher told me. Man, my PE teacher, he asked me one time if I was retarded. And I told him no. And then he asked me if I was sure. And I said, no, I'm sure. And then he asked me, well, maybe you should ask your mom. And I said, ask her what? Maybe you should ask your mom if you're retarded.
And I said, "You're silly." And I laughed it off. And then I went and had a conversation with my mom. "Hey, was everything okay with my birth, right? Like, am I normal, right?" Let's stand. How many of you, the enemy's been knocking on your door and he's just been saying, "You're nothing, man. You're a hypocrite. You're a loser. Are you retarded? You're slow. Like, what's your issue? What's your damage? That church doesn't need you. God doesn't need you. You're a fraud. You're a hypocrite. Just give up. Go. Just do something else." How many of you this morning, you'd say, "Pastor, you know, I'm done with my job. I feel just like a pawn in the system. I feel like just another brick in the wall," right? I have been so fed up, and yet you, there's something in you and it's harassing you and you don't know what it is. But you're like, "God, I know there's royalty in me. There's royalty in me. There's royalty in me. I don't feel like it, but there's something that's keeping me connected." How many of you all throughout this room, like, you've been done for a while, but there's been a thread that's kept you connected. That thread is a lot larger than you think. And it's covered in the blood of Jesus. This morning, what I want to do is, you know, I want to do an activation. An activation is simply doing something in the natural. It's a prophetic act, a prophetic drama, where we do something that will open up the eye of our heart to be able to receive something. This is what I want you to do. Just take your hands in front of you like this. Put them together. And do you know where your heart is? It's inside your chest cavity. So what we're going to do is we're just going to engage by faith. We're going to open up our chest before the Lord. We're going to open it up. And we're just going to say, "Father, come into my heart. This is my heart. This is the thing, that this is the drum where it all started. I give you my heart. I expose to you my heart." And then just ask him, "God, will you reveal to me your heart, your God decree that you have knit into me, that you've knit into my heart." So let's just go ahead and put your hands together and just close your eyes. Just come before the Father. Now just open up your chest and just say, "Father, I give you my heart." The enemy's been trying to get at this thing all week, all month, all year. The enemy's been after this thing, but now I give it to you. I'm just going to read 1 John 5:18. "We know that everyone who's been born of God does not keep on sinning, but he who is born of God protects him, and the evil one does not touch him." Father, I pray that you would cover us now in your blood. We repent right now for partnering with evil, for partnering with the stuff that's been in our DNA through generations, that's been warring after our inheritance in our hearts. And we choose today to step into the blood of Jesus. Let your blood wash us. Let it cleanse us. We step into the record of Christ Jesus, that there is no iniquity in him. There is no sin or sickness in him. We step into you, Jesus. There is no guilt in you. We step in right now. Father, we ask for an exchange from shame and hiddenness. We exchange shame right now, and we purge that out of our hearts, and we accept your love, your grace. We accept your acceptance. And we declare we are born of you, and the evil one has no access to us. Father, remove from our hearts sadness, sickness of heart, hope that's been deferred, isolation, betrayal. Father, remove from our hearts all the demonic influence. Oh. I see someone's heart here is like wrapped in newspaper. And it's just, and it's wrapped in headlines. And it's just, there's not even access to the heart because it's just wrapped in all this newspaper. And I just see the Lord taking off that newspaper that's been, it's, you know, like how you pack something, you wrap it with newspaper to keep it safe. It's just been hidden. I just see the Lord unwrapping it, just unwrapping that newspaper, just taking, if that's you, just begin to invite him just to come and just to unwrap you. Wow. Now just say, Father, go ahead, just repeat after me. Father, I give you my heart. I choose this morning to come into agreement with your scroll, with your declaration. I have been wrapped in the decrees of God. I have been wrapped in the song of the Lord. I declare to my spirit to come into alignment with the Holy Spirit. And I choose to not be defined by the wrapping of my earthly DNA, but I come into agreement with the scroll of destiny. I will honor my call. I will honor this declaration. I am a part of the kingdom of heaven. I have been called to be a king, a priest, for such a time as this. I will live my life under your kingly authority, Jesus, and according to your plan and purpose. If this is you, if you have felt the war, the struggle, if you felt like quitting, giving up, I would like for you to not just leave this morning, but to come up front. There's a big line at the front here. And just to come quickly, because our intercessors and prayer team, they are going to come alongside of you. You felt the struggle, even as I was teaching this morning, but you felt the struggle. Let me just say this. Your heart has been spoken for this morning. Your heart has been spoken for this morning. And we're not just here as a church just to cheer you on and be your little cheerleader. We are here as a church to be a band of brothers, to be soldiers and warriors, to come about you and to say that your scroll, your destiny, this God decree, it's worth fighting for. It's worth putting up a fight for. I just heard this word for somebody just recently about how the Lord spoke, and I don't know who this was. The Lord spoke to this brother and said, yes, this is what I've called you to do, but did you think you weren't going to have to fight for it? Are you willing to fight for the call of God, for the decree of God, for the song of God? And that's what we want to do that this morning. We're go ahead, ministry team. We're just going to come around you, come alongside of you, and we're just going to let you know you're not alone this morning. You are not alone. And I just believe that his rod and his staff are going to comfort you this morning. So we thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for the plans and purposes of God in this room. Lord, open the scrolls this morning. Lord, open the scrolls. The hidden things, the hidden songs, the songs that have not yet been sung. Lord, where there seems to be blindness, open the eyes of our hearts this morning. Where there seems to be deafness, the ability, if you've been saying this last week, man, I can't even hear from God. If that's you, just put your hands on your ears right now and just say, I can hear. I was created to hear. And pull your fingers out of your ears and just unclog your ear gate this morning. God's just going to begin speaking to you. Just speaking. And for the rest, for all of us this morning, let's wrestle with the call this week. Let's wrestle. Let's say we are going to honor the call of God on our lives. We are going to honor. We are going to honor our scroll of destiny. We are not going to neglect the call. We are not going to neglect our royal blood. Is that good? Is that good? There's bigness. There's a king in you. God bless you guys. Love you guys.